fighting? Now, this is for you. Now, I'm talking to you individually. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you really living by faith? Are you practicing your faith? Are you growing your faith? Is your faith getting bigger? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you really living by faith? Now, only you can answer that. You see, because the devil has devised tools and weapons that are designed to keep you from fighting a good fight. He brings persecution, and we're going to see more persecution than we've ever seen for true believers. Watered down believers are not going to be persecuted because they're not going to take a stand. But real, true, bona fide believers are going to be persecuted for what they believe. And it'll come on their jobs. It'll come in society. It'll come in social settings. There'll be a persecution, a pushing against you for you to be quiet. There'll be trouble and tribulation, hardship, the cares of this life, the pleasures of life, the offenses that come from being in relationship with other people. These are all things that are designed to keep you out of the fight of faith. The cares of this life, for instance, like anxiety and worries, if not handled properly. Now, everybody have cares come to them, but there's a proper way for you to handle cares. Do you know the proper way to handle a care, a worry, or concern? You're supposed to cast it on to the Lord. Now, are you practicing that? Do you practice giving those cares to God? Because if you don't, then they will cause you to have a wrong focus. Instead of looking at God and looking at your purpose, you'll start focusing on your problems. Now you got misdirected, misguided focus. That means that you're seeing the wrong thing. Amen? Praise God. To focus is to concentrate. What you focus on or concentrate on will become the center of attention and activity in your life. What you focus on is what becomes the center of your life. If you're not focused on Jesus, he's not going to be the center. Whatever you focus on is what's going to take over. So Satan wants to distract you so that your eyes are not on Jesus when the scripture says looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, because he's the one that holds the key and the plan for your life. Glory to God.
Glory to God. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I have a word for the church today. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. And because it's for the church, it's important that we hear the same thing, especially if you have wondered why doors hadn't been opened and promises hadn't been fulfilled yet, and things hadn't come to you, and you hadn't gotten to where you think you ought to be. We want to make sure that you're not doing what Paul admonishes the church not to do. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 says, quench not the spirit. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. You may be seated. Quench not the spirit. Help me preach this. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, quench not the spirit. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, quench not the spirit. Turn to yourself and say, neighbor, that's me. Quench not the spirit. Now, if you believe that you ought to obey what God says, come on, give him praise in the house. This is a very short text, but it is powerful and laden with meaning. And it's important to understand the message that Paul is trying to get over, not only to the church at Thessalonica, but to the believers everywhere. The Holy Ghost has such an important role as the third person who now ministers to man in the earth realm. God played his role in history. Jesus played his role in history. Now it is the Holy Ghost's turn on the stage of our lives to play his part. And it's important because he's the third person of the Godhead. And if we do not obey him, if we do not accept him, if we do not follow him, we miss out on the blessings and benefit that he brings in this third dispensation. One of the things that I think is so important is to understand how we as believers quench the Spirit of the living God in our own lives. First of all, the word says, quench not. It would be helpful for us to make sure we understand what quench means. Because if you don't really understand what quench means, then how can you not do it? When you very well may be doing it now and not understand what it means. It is important to understand that this word quench means to exterminate. It means to extinguish. It means to lower by taking away the oxygen of the level of the glow and the flow of the fire. It's important to understand that it brings it down to a place where it does not function in its full capacity. And so a whole lot of folk don't understand. There is a Hindu word called stifle, which means to hush the voice of. And a whole lot of us hush the voice of the Holy Ghost because we quench. Listen, we bring his voice so low down in our spirit man's hearing that he does not get the chance to actually see us live out what he's revealed to us. And by quenching his voice in our hearing, he then stops speaking to us. Why? Because what he has to say by way of revelation is so important to our entire being that if we won't take time to hear and to record what he says, then he stops wasting his time talking to us. You know how it is when you talk to folk and you can tell they don't want to talk to you? The old folk, you say, folk with good sense, snoom, stop talking to them. You know, they get the message loud and clear, but because they love you, they keep trying. But after a while, They stopped talking. Well, they may have been enthusiastic, and they may have, you know, been charged, and they were speaking very charismatically to you because they were excited about the revelation sharing with you. But when you act as if it were no big deal, you act as if it wasn't nothing that was worthwhile, then they started talking to you at normal voice level. And then from normal voice level, they started whispering stuff to you. And after a while, they completely stopped. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does when we suppress, quench, when we suppress his voice. He's seen as a fire. Let me tell you three ways that you can put the fire out. Now, there are many, many ways you can do it, but here are just three examples. The first one is that you are able to saturate it. Put water on it, moisten it, so much so that the fire loses its power, its ability to flow and glow in that moist situation. So the fire dies down, and if the moisture continues to build up, the fire dies out. Moisture is not a good companion to fire. When you want something put out, a fire put out, one of the first and natural responses is to grab water and douse it with water. Even if you're barbecuing and the flame gets too high, Some folks, you grab water and sprinkle it and hit it and make that fire break down so that they don't want to put it out, but they don't want the flames too high. And so they saturate the coals with water so that it brings the hot spots down to cool spots, and so the fire goes down. Second way is smothering, where you take the life out of the flame, take out the oxygen, take out the fuel of the flame. And therefore, when you smother the fire, it begins to die out. If you put fire in a place where it cannot get fuel or oxygen, the fire will still start to die down. No matter how high it is, no matter how great it is, fire needs fuel and it needs oxygen to live. But thirdly, another way you can put a fire out is through soil, through sand or through dirt, or through immoral lives. When your life is not clean, that begins, listen, to quench the spirit of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You got to be clean. You got to live clean. You've got to be holy. You've got to be righteous. And without those things, you cannot have the Holy Ghost living, functioning, and moving on the inside of you. So those three basic ways of how we are able to quench the fire of the Holy Ghost. Second thing I want to tell you is why you ought not want to quench it. First of all, because the Holy Ghost enlivens us. His spirit enlivens us. What does that mean? It quickens us. It brings us to life. It gives us life. It animates our life. When God made man, formed him out of the dust of the earth, and made him all that he was, he did not become a living soul until God breathe the breath of life, which we call spirit, into man, and he got up a living soul. It's because we need to understand the spirit lives on the inside. That's what makes us come alive. You can be in church service all day long, all night long, all your life long. If you're never filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be in a service without no inner power, inner conviction, inner happenings, inner life. And so consequently, you're there watching another show, but it's only live. You are part of it, but it's not a part of you. And so many people miss it, because without the Spirit of the living God, you cannot be enlivened. I watch folk sometime, watch folk who are Holy Ghost filled. And I know they want some of that Holy Ghost in them. I know they be trying to get him. I wish he'd come on me. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on me. Come on me. But you ain't right for him to come on you and come within you. You've not opened up and yielded yourself to him. You can't come alive. He'll make you do some things you never thought you'd do. He'll make you move. He'll make you shout. He'll make you dance and not be embarrassed. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how blessed you are. He'll make you act up in a good way, where you'll say, this joy I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Now, how you like me now? He enlivens us. But without it, you're wondering, what's wrong with them people? Like on the day of Pentecost, when the Jews and all saw those who had been Holy Ghost filled, and they were full of the anointing of God, and those men supposed, Peter said, that they had been drinking new wine. Peter says, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, man. Get yourself together. Ain't nobody been drinking. We are full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will make you. And so he enlivens us. But second thing the Holy Ghost does is he enlightens us. Jesus said he would leave us the Holy Ghost and he would teach us all things and bring all things back to our remembrance. Listen, if he teaches us all truth, wouldn't you want to learn all truth from somebody who knows all truth? The Holy Ghost knows all truth, secular truth, sacred truth, spiritual truth, every truth there is. He knows business truth. He knows every truth you can think of. If it's truth, he knows it. And when he reveals ideals to you, when he shows you business plans, when he gives you things that will bring relief and comfort, when he shares with you, it's because he knows all of this. When he gives you a word and tells you to call somebody or put somebody on your heart and calls you to pray for them and intercede for them and tells you something to tell them, he ain't telling you just to tell you. He's telling you to encourage them. You got a word from them from the Lord. You were in my spirit and the spirit shared with me such and such. You don't know where that person is, but the spirit does. And the more you fight in not doing what he says do, you're quenching his enlightenment. He gives you answers to questions that ain't even been asked yet. Lord, I wish I had a helping hand. He shows you the answers to problems that you've not even encountered yet. He'll reveal things to you. Listen. He enlightens. Paul can tell you about it. He was caught up in the third heaven. He didn't know if he was there physically or just in a vision, a trance. He said, but God in his spirit, his power, his word reveals something too much for him and for him to share rather with other folk. And while the Holy Spirit gives us insight to that, the truth of the matter is, John, in the Spirit of the Lord, on the Lord's day, revelation, he starts off by telling you, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the whole book of Revelation was laid out to him. Listen, the Holy Ghost did that. And in the midst of that, I'll tell you a little later what that was and why that was. But listen again, that's the reason why you don't want to. There are so many other reasons, but those are three reasons why. He enlivens us, he enlightens us, and he empowers us. He empowers us. The Bible says, ye shall receive power, Acts 1:8. When? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you'll be witnesses and do all of the wonderful works and signs, etc., that he wanted you to do after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. But listen at this. That means it is he, the Holy Ghost, who empowers us to do everything God wants him to do. You can't do spiritual works without the Spirit. You can't move spiritual things without the Spirit. You can't have the mind of Christ without the Spirit. You can't do the works that the Spirit did without the Spirit. Listen, Acts 10 and 38 says how God was with him, how he anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went around doing all kinds of good, healing sickness and disease. Listen, because God was with him. The Spirit gave him the ability. He gave him both dunamis and exousia. Dunamis, from the root word we get dynamite from, he gave him explosive, life-changing power. But then he also gave him authority, exousia, authority to operate. You can have dynamite, but if you ain't got authority to use it. Come on, talk to me, somebody. What good is it? You can have all the keys you want, but if you're not authorized to go in the building, talking about some finders keeper, losers weeper, you go pick up them people key and go in the place you ain't authorized to go in and see what happens to you. You've got to be authorized. When Simon heard, listen, saw all of the wonderful works that Paul was doing, wanted some of that Holy Ghost power, thought he could buy that power. And listen, and all the seven sons of Sceva also, they wanted that anointed power. And listen, that power that empowered them to lay hands on the sick, to cause the dead to be restored, on and on and on. They wanted something they didn't have authority to do. And they talked about doing it in Jesus' name. And those demons said, Paul! We know. And Jesus, we know. But who are you? And the record is those spirits beat them till they beat the clothes off them and caused them to run out in the street naked, messing with a power that they didn't possess nor have authority. I wish I had a helper in the house. But when you are authorized and empowered to use it, when you call the name Jesus, demons tremble. Because they know somebody authorized and empowered is calling on that name. Let me give you three more points and I'm going to go on. Leave you alone. Let you go on because I feel like I'm grieving you. Listen. There are three points I want to share with you that causes you to win. And I've told you three ways you can put out the fire. And I've told you three reasons why you ought not want to put out the fire. Because he enlightens us, enlivens us, and empowers us. But I also want to tell you three ways you win. See, most folk don't want to hear until they find out what's in it for them. But what's in it for me? I'm about to tell you what's in it for you. You'll just listen to me here. Listen, the Holy Spirit reveals to you one time sensitive information. When Jesus came, he was on earth 30 years before he became baptized and begun his earthly ministry. After he was baptized, the Holy Ghost came down in fullness like a dove and lit on his shoulder, and he was anointed with the fullness of the Holy Ghost. But listen, it did not happen until the right time. Time sensitive. Paul talked about Jesus came in the fullness of time. Time sensitive. He also, Paul talks about due time. James talks about that. All of, why is that so important? Because you've got to understand that much of what the Holy Spirit reveals to you is time sensitive. And listen, you can't sit on it. Matthew reveals, Jesus said, listen, they're going to take you and they're going to beat you and they're going to bring you before their judges and magistrates, etc. Listen, but I don't even think you need to worry about trying to fix up nothing and what you're going to say in that same hour.
Yeah.
In that same moment, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say.
Right.
Why? Because it's time-sensitive information.
Yes.
There are some things. You remember Pilate was wondering what was he going to do with Jesus? And then the Bible says that night his wife had a dream. And in that dream, she realized that Jesus was an innocent man, and she woke up and told her husband, don't have nothing to do with that good man. But Pilate didn't listen to time-sensitive information. And so he released Barabbas instead of Jesus, because that's what the people wanted, even though he had time-sensitive information that said Jesus was the one that should be released. He did not adhere to it. You see, sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals some things to you that you've got to do now, not later, now, right now. That in a moment of time, you got to make a decision. It might be right or wrong. It might be life or death. It might be prosperity or poverty. In that moment that you make that decision, some decisions you make, you ain't got time to sleep on. Are y'all in the house this morning? Sometime the Holy Ghost gives you a second to process information he's given you, and you're either going to trust him or be fearful and not make the move that he's given you to make. Opportunities, listen, don't always come at an opportune time. And the Holy Ghost many times will come to you with time-sensitive information. It's in that moment that you hear him and heed him, and your whole life is changed. It may mean the difference of making a decision and the Holy Ghost says, don't do it. How many? And I just want you to be real. You ain't got to raise your hands. You ain't got to acknowledge that I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. I know I'm talking to you. We know we're talking about everybody, all right? But don't tell the person sitting next to you. How many times have you heard the Holy Spirit whisper time-sensitive information in your ear and you would not receive it? And you went on to make a mistake that you paid far more than the mistake was worth. Anybody in the house? He told you don't do it, you did it anyway, and some of you still paying for that mistake right now. Somebody done went out, wake them up. I want them to hear the rest of it. They're talking about, woo, I made that mistake 35 years. Wake them on up, I got more information for them. Don't let them go out. Listen. We will repeat those mistakes if we don't realize one of the values of the Holy Ghost in our lives is to give us time-sensitive information. But there's another reason we win. We win because he tailors the revelation for our success. You remember Gideon, don't you? Who grew up in Manasseh, poor city. His family was the poorest family in the poor city. He was the poorest child in the family in the poor city. And God called him mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. Can you imagine all of the self-confident issues he had? Do you not? not realize all of those things he had to overcome because God called him Mighty Man of Valor. Make a long story short, you know, Gideon went to battle with 32,000 against opposing enemy with 120,000. God told him,